You're listening to Marketplace Weekend, where the economy meets real life. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. Earlier on the show, we talked about free speech and the workplace. Now we're going to dig deeper into diversity at work. Earlier this month, we had this.
Reports of a controversial memo circulating within Google began appearing on social media. The full memo, titled Google's Ideological Echo Chamber, is published by Gizmodo. In it, now former Google engineer James Damore.
The employee claimed women were not biologically fit for tech jobs because they show higher interest in people over things, are too cooperative, are more prone to anxiety.
He also went on to say that men have a higher drive for status, that
Google has fired the employee behind an internal company memo that alleges huge gaps in representation between men and women in the tech industry are due to biological differences.
But what if we told you that greater diversity is linked to better business outcomes? That's where Catherine Phillips from Columbia Business School comes in. She says a more diverse workforce is like any investment a company makes and has to become part of its strategic plan. Catherine Phillips, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Happy to be here.
You know, when something like the Google memo happens and this sort of controversy surfaces, you are the go-to voice. And I want you, for our listeners, to lay out your kind of groundbreaking research from 2010, Better Decisions Through Diversity. What did you find?
So I've done research looking at diverse decision-making teams and comparing them to homogeneous teams. And what I've discovered is that when you have a group that has some social diversity present, everyone knows that there are some differences between the individuals in the room, they are more likely to share their information, that unique information that's in their heads, and they're more likely to get the right answer than the homogeneous groups, the groups where everyone in the room thinks that they're the same, they're from the same social group.
Yeah.
Now, one of the things that was really striking about that research is that when you ask people after they have gone through this group discussion and they've made their decision about what they think the right answer is, the homogeneous groups consistently say that they were more effective, that they were are more confident that they have the right answer, despite the fact that the objective data tells us the complete opposite, that the diverse groups performed more effectively.
In other words, it's good for the bottom line, but it makes people feel uncomfortable sometimes in the process?
Exactly. The way that I like to think of it is kind of with an analogy of kind of pain and gain. You know, you go to the gym, and when you go to the gym, you work out, and you're looking for a little bit of twinge in your muscle, a little bit of pain to actually make sure that you're getting some benefits from going to the gym. It's the same thing with diversity. When you go into a room with people who look like, you know, who are different from yourself, who you assume may have some different perspectives than you do, you have to engage with them, and that might be uncomfortable at times.
Do you think your research helps explain why companies in the tech sector, or even, frankly, in the media sector, talk a good game when it comes to diverse hiring practices or mentoring young people, but then when you look at who's in the top rung or when you look at who's on the masthead, doesn't actually look that different from who was there 15 years ago?
Yeah. For a long time, we have been trying to make sure that the leadership of organizations understand the value of diversity. But the people who are the middle managers, right, who are doing the work every day, who are making the decisions about who should be hired and who shouldn't, and what work people have an opportunity to be involved in, they're all kind of grappling with this discomfort that they're constantly feeling. They watch the diverse groups interact and they see that, you know, they're actually having some conflict. They're not agreeing with each other. It's not so smooth. And they want to avoid that. So you end up with the biases and the concerns about diversity really showing up in the day-to-day decision-making that's being made by the people who are on the ground.
So let's flip this around a little bit. Let's take this, you know, memo from Google. I'm pretty sure we could argue that James Damore did not expect this to blow up in the way that it did. It sparked a lot of uncomfortable conversations. What are the merits in, say, keeping someone who has a viewpoint that is offensive to other colleagues and talking about it and learning from it? And what are the merits to saying, yeah, that's not welcome here. Goodbye.
Certainly, as I've said, social diversity is really important. And it's very important to recognize that people will have different viewpoints, different perspectives, and that those should be embraced, right, in some real meaningful ways. But there's also something about culture and values that have to be espoused very clearly by organizations when they bring that diversity in. And it actually turns out that a lot of diversity in values and what it is that we're really trying to accomplish here is not that beneficial for the organization. It's always a fine line because there's that question of fit, right? The organizational fit, which oftentimes has been used to keep people who look like me out of organizations. They don't
fit. That's a code word.
Yeah, it's code word. And it's like, well, what does that really mean? They don't fit here. They don't look the part. That's very different than they have values that are inconsistent with the values of this organization.
There's something you said to my producer that I found really fascinating. With to many hiring managers, and often white ones, diversity means someone like me but brown. And that just doesn't exist. You can't have a carbon copy of yourself. People are different and have different life experiences. So when you think about this word, diversity, what does it mean?
I oftentimes start off, you know, kind of diversity conversations with companies with that very question. What is your definition of diversity? And I ask everyone in the room to write down what they think it is. Like, what is it? The reality is that diversity is what in that given context people are using to tell themselves this person is different from me in this meaningful way. You know, there is some diversity in the way people think about the concept itself, but I have always used it in my own research, defined it as whatever it is that people are using to tell themselves that this person is different from me. And not only are they different from me, but now I'm assuming things about them. I'm assuming that they think differently than I do. I'm assuming that they are, you know, sometimes not as good as I am.
What do you do if some employees are not on board and they make that known?
People have said, oh, we've been talking about diversity for so long. And I have said to them, actually, I've been talking about diversity. And this other person over here has been talking about diversity. But there's a lot of people who have not been in this conversation. And so I think we're at the point now where the topic of diversity has become one where everybody realizes, wait a minute, I need to maybe pay attention to this a little bit more and understand it a little bit more and have a perspective on it. I think a lot of people have just skated along for a very long time. And now we have, I think, kind of a large, you know, kind of coalition, a very large coalition of people who are starting to have an impact with this perspective. And we're going to get resistance. There will be people pushing back. And I think what we see right now is a lot of resistance coming up from people who have been paying attention. They've been quietly paying attention, and now they're ready to push back. And we have to keep our message on point and keep pushing forward.
Well, so let's say someone who runs a company is listening to this and says, well, yeah, that sounds good, but even watching all of this fighting and hatred, this is too scary for me. I don't even want to engage in this conversation because it might blow up around my employees and I'm not comfortable with that. What do you say to them?
The role of leaders, the job of leadership is one that oftentimes calls for people to take stances that could potentially, you know, have some people not want to follow you, and being compelling about those perspectives. The people that you might upset, perhaps you don't want them following you in the first place.
Catherine Phillips is a professor of leadership and ethics at Columbia Business School. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
For a longer version of our conversation with Professor Phillips, you can check out our website, marketplace.org.